You are one of the most interesting characters from the show Real Housewives of Beverly Hills because you had a real storyline.
I knew that my religion was definitely going to be a topic.
You are a practicing Wiccan.
I am.
Can you explain what a witch is? What is the reality of creating spells?
I love being scared. I love scaring people.
I have a paralyzing fear of throwing up.
Don't you love getting scared?
Destiny, mystery, and cross. Are they like you were when you were a child? Do you feel like they have something inside of them?
I 100% know they all do. They've all displayed it.
If you date somebody, do they have to be Wiccan?
Just hot.
I cannot end this interview without asking about your relationship, however, with your former friend, Kyle. Do you believe this whole thing that she's now a lesbian?
Was that for her storyline? Because God knows she was always desperately in need of one.
Happy Halloween, everybody. Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. I have the perfect guest for today. Her name is Carlton Gebbia. She is a British-American actress, interior designer, and television personality, best known for her role on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills during its fourth season. Known for her gothic style, unique personality, and spiritual beliefs, Gebbia made a memorable impression on the show with her outspoken nature and her connection to Wicca, which she practices. This spiritual aspect was a notable storyline on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, where she openly discussed her beliefs, setting her apart from other cast members, including Kyle. Beyond reality TV, Gebbia has worked in the interior design industry, particularly with high-end homes, and has experience in acting. Her appearances on Beverly Hills were marked by her assertive personality and occasional conflicts with cast members, which made her a polarizing figure among fans. Since her time on the show, she has remained relatively private, occasionally making headlines for personal developments or insights into her time on the show. I feel very lucky that she joined us. I'm her very first podcast, and I had a great time with her. She joins us tonight on her favorite holiday, Halloween, to dive into what is misunderstood about some of the things dearest to her, witchcraft, and the spiritual beliefs she holds close. We do also get her thoughts, her most recent thoughts, on Kyle and everything that's been going on with her life, and you do not want to miss that. So sit back, relax, and join my conversation with Carlton Gebbia. Carlton, it is such an honor to have you on my show. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, it's my pleasure. You sort of popping my cherry for my first Zoom meeting.
Oh, I love that. Well, thank you. So it's funny because I could not think of a better person to have on my show on Halloween. I think you represent all things Halloween for people that are watching. They can see your background with all your beautiful decor. What are you going to be doing tonight for Halloween, by the way?
Well, actually, I'll take my son trick-or-treating. He's dressing up. What is he? Oh, he's a demented jester.
Ooh.
Then I'm going to a party with my friends.
And what will you dress as this year?
Well, this year, I love ravens. I am fascinated with ravens. For me, they represent the way that a phoenix for people represents the being born from the ashes again, sort of a rebirth. And that's what a raven is for me. So that's what I'm wearing. I mean, I'm not going to go in looking like, you know, a black feathered chicken. It's just, it'll be sort of like witchy, feathery-ish, I think.
Right. Amazing. All right. Well, here's the thing. There are so many things that I could talk to you about, but I really want to keep the show to what is misunderstood about who this person is that we have come to know. And I think that you are one of the most interesting characters from the show Real Housewives of Beverly Hills because you had a real storyline. And even though you were on, was it only one season that you were on?
One season.
Yeah, I just feel like your character, who you are, is so interesting and different that I think a lot of people have a lot of questions. So it really is my honor to have you here and to ask you all about who you are. Before we get into this stuff about understanding witchcraft and paganism and being a Wiccan, I do want to ask you though, how did you get into the realm of the Bravo world? How did you even get cast?
Oh, into Bravo? Oh, well, I had A girlfriend of mine, this was okay. Now, keep in mind, this was 13 years ago, which is honestly, when I think about it, it makes my toes curl because I can't believe it was that long ago. But it was about 13 years ago, and a producer girlfriend of mine had said, would I ever consider doing reality TV? And it literally had just started, it wasn't even gaining any kind of momentum. And at the time, I was studying acting, and I was like, hell no. It was like the kiss of death for any actor to do reality. And then she was persistent, and then I finally gave in. And that's sort of how it came about. And also, at the time, I was married for 15 years. I had three young children. I was designing houses, but I felt like I was sort of insulated in this protective bubble of marriage and motherhood. And I kind of felt like I was losing my identity. And I know that sounds negative, but it wasn't. I just felt like I was losing myself a bit. So I wanted to have something that was challenging, which it proved to be, and also something of my own. So yes, I
Right.
gave.
So then I am curious what your experience was. Did you like being on the show? Did you like the friends you made? Like, what was the experience like for you?
Well, the experience was kind of two parts. You were dealing with a network, you're dealing with Bravo, and then you were also dealing with a group of women, which I was excited to, sort of do a show based upon women, which I did have preconceived ideas that I thought it would be a lot different. I had never watched a show because I knew how editing sort of skews people's perspectives, and I just didn't want to have those preconceived notions. But yeah, so it was two parts. I dealt with Bravo, and that was one experience. And then The Housewives was truly another experience.
Right.
With Bravo, you don't step into like the murky waters of Housewives thinking that you're going to control the narrative. And if you do think that you do, you realize really, really quickly you have no control. And
So what do you mean by that? Did you soon see the narrative they wanted to create for you, or did you not see it until it was edited and it was playing back in front of you on TV?
I didn't think that I was a typical housewife. I never professed to be, I don't conform. I'm very opinionated. And so yes, I had money, but it didn't change sort of my identity. So I knew that my faith or my religion was definitely going to be a topic. And I was very clear to them that the minute I felt like it was being exploitive, I would have an issue with it. So what would happen is they would shoot the scenes. Weekly, you would get a DVD at the time, and you would watch it on a Sunday night, and you would see exactly what they put together for that week's episode. And then you would have to write a blog, which, by the way, for me was a highlight of doing the show because you got to sort of verbalize things that you couldn't say, or you didn't have the opportunity to say, or were edited out. But a show like Housewives, they definitely want to highlight your worst moments. And usually that would involve alcohol. And if I sort of sensed that a scene was going to be slightly manipulated, I was very aware of my alcohol intake. And then if I did get messy or anyone else got messy, it was on us because, nobody was force drinking us.
Yeah, I understand that. Are you still friends with any of the cast members or people that you've met through that experience?
I mean, I've moved to Miami, so I did stay in contact with Brandy for a while, and Lisa somewhat, but really, probably no. I mean, it's been a long time.
And do you watch the current seasons, the last couple seasons?
No, I don't know. No, I don't. I never watched it before.
Right.
I haven't. I actually do watch reality TV now, which I hadn't back then because I was a snob, I guess, when it came to that.
What do you like watching now?
I love Survivor. I really do. I love the shows that are sort of the obstacle course shows, surviving the wilderness, that type of thing.
Right. Like,
I feel
do you
like
watch, what is it, Naked and Afraid?
No, I haven't watched that. Which one
Oh,
is that?
you might like it. It's two people that have to go through the wilderness for 21 days completely naked.
Yeah, see, I that would make no. I know. I
So I
can't.
guess you won't be doing that if they ask you to do
No. You could
it.
maybe ask me to jump out a helicopter. That I'll do, but
Oh. So you could do one of those, you know how they have on Fox, I think it's like Fox Force 5 or whatever. It's the ensemble
yes.
cast of 20 people. And I
That
know
I do.
Dr. Drew was on it because he was on my show and he talked about having to jump out of a helicopter blindfolded and going backwards, which sounds terrible to me, but maybe you would like that.
Oh my God, I would jump, excuse the pun, at the chance. Yeah, I'm actually we're scheduled, I'm scheduled with my daughter to take her skydiving next week. So for her,
Wow.
yeah, we did it on her 18th, which was her first time, not mine. And so we're doing it again. I love heights. I love climbing outside buildings, especially when I was younger.
Wow. Okay,
Yeah.
so tell me about your childhood then, because I want to hear how you got to be who you are. Were you, I read somewhere that your grandparents, your grandmother was, she was a practicing pagan. Am I saying this right?
Yes,
Yeah.
absolutely.
Okay,
Yes. Yeah, so
explain what that is and how you grew up in this family and what got you into this sort of witchcraft world.
okay. My grandmother is pagan. So I was very close with her when I was younger. So I grew up in that environment. I would see her, I would actually have to hide to watch her do things. She was incredibly psychic. She was a little scary. She was a little dark. And then my mom was psychic. She read tarot cards.
For a living, or like she just did it because she was, it
Just
came
did it.
naturally.
Yeah, it came naturally. She also used to read, which when I was about 14, I asked her to teach me. She read, regular playing cards, and I could never understand how she would do it because they were just numbers. But I had been around that since a little girl. I knew that I had a gift of sorts, just wasn't quite sure what it was because I always resonated with nature, with animals. I knew that I communicated differently. I also, yeah, I mean, I was an odd girl, but I didn't think it was a disadvantage. I had no problem, I was teased at school too, by the way, but then kids would come to me to do
But let
spells.
me ask you a question. So what does that mean when people hear the word witch or witchcraft, all these, and you're talking about psychic abilities? You know, we can walk by down the street in New York and there's, you know, all these window fronts of come get your tarot cards read, or you can read your future. People pay all this money to call somebody in Europe and they tell you what, you know, you want to hear or don't want to hear. What makes what you're born with different than who these people are on the street trying to make a living out of it?
Yeah, no, I mean, I would say that probably 90% are charlatans. It's, you don't, you, if you're very perceptive, I think it's easy to read people and you don't have to be psychic to do that. So I think that's why there's a lot of, and it doesn't make you gullible. I just think they're very good at reading you as a person. And there's, there's simple things that you can touch upon, which everybody is going through. For me, I did read tarot cards. I ended up learning how to read playing cards. I just knew that I would sense, especially when I was younger, which I didn't like, I would sense if somebody was going to die, which I hated. I had a friend of mine that I knew was, and I stopped being friends with him. I pulled away from him like weeks beforehand because I couldn't be around that. But for me, I think for me, I wanted to affect a positive change in people's lives. I wanted to be able to read people and give them hope when I knew they were in a distressful situation or they didn't have answers or they just needed the encouragement. But I started really, I mean, I did, and I have said it on the show as well. I did go to a dark place because my mom was married to a man that I despised. He's my stepfather. And I sort of sought out that energy to help me cope on a daily basis around him. So that was my escape. And then as I got older, especially when I turned 18, I decided that that wasn't something, you know, there's a price to pay. You don't get to create a situation out of magic and not pay a price if it's coming from a negative energy.
Right. Okay, wait, I have so many questions. Do you believe that there's such a thing as destiny or fate, or can somebody's destiny and fate be changed based on a spell or something changing in the universe? Is it energy based? Like, how, do you know what I'm asking?
I do. I believe that, I don't think this is witch based, but I do believe that we have choices and we have paths to take. And I think that, you know, destiny may be set out one way, but I do believe that we have a way to maybe change the direction. I'm not so sure if you're talking about sort of, you know, this is the date that you're going to die. Can you avoid
Right.
that type of thing? But I definitely think that you have the ability to correct your destiny. I don't know what the end result will be, if it's any different, but I do know that your journey getting there will change.
Will be
So
different. Oh,
I
that's
think that
interesting.
we all have that power though, because
Right.
it is a choice. We don't, you know, innately we know the difference between right and wrong. We know that if we're intentionally trying to hurt somebody or create havoc in their life or chaos, you're I do believe in karma 100%. And I also believe that with spell magic, you can sometimes give karma a little swift push in the right direction.
Huh, okay. We all could use a little bit of that. I want to go back to something you said before about the boy you were telling me when you were younger and you felt you sensed that he was going to die. What does, can you explain what that feeling is like when you feel senses like that?
It depends. It depends what I'm picking up. So if I'm, again, with intuition with anybody, if you're heightened, if you have heightened intuition, or yeah, if you have a heightened intuition, you can sense something from somebody immediately. You can either sense that there's a negative energy about them, or if there's something, you know, that they have this beautiful, calm energy that's a spiritual that you resonate with, like a light-minded soul. So for me, it was just with people, I get to read them immediately. I also recognize somebody that, like it's almost like a taste. Like I get a sort of like a coppery taste in my mouth when there's when I'm either in a really bad situation that's predictably negative, or if I'm around someone that is not safe.
Wow, that's so interesting. And do you believe that people can learn? You said you learned to read cards in general.
Sure.
Can do you believe that someone can learn astrology and become an astrologist and read somebody's cards? Do you believe somebody is that something that is learned, or do you have to feel it and have powers within?
No, so with spell, I think with just because I was born into that, because all the women in our family line were in some way, well, they all were witches actually, but that doesn't mean that as a spiritual person that connects, especially because you have to connect with nature. That is what this faith is. It's a nature-based spirituality faith that deals with balance. It's harmonious. It's about cause and effect. So what you put out, you will receive, and that goes for negative energy too. You don't get to put out something negative to someone who has done nothing to you and expect that you're going to get off scot-free, because you don't. You will pay a price. And it may come right away, it may come later. But I think that anyone that has this desire, this yearning inside of them that wants to learn to read cards or to read tea leaves, any of this is teachable. If you genuinely have an interest in it, and it's not for anything negative. I absolutely know that you will.
So this may seem like a very elementary question, but can you explain what a witch is? I think there's a lot of misconceptions about this word witch. It brings negative connotations, black capes, pointy hats, cauldrons and spells. What is a witch?
Okay, so I'll explain sort of what Wicca is. So Wicca, like I said, is an, well, I didn't say this before, but Wicca is an individualized, spiritually based faith that centers around Mother Nature. So we believe in the miracles of nature. We believe in ultimately respecting and not destroying the earth. For example, stop depleting natural resources, which is also something that I'm really heavy into. But Wicca is a new religion. It's sort of from the 1950s, but it's under the umbrella of paganism, which also has a lot of other different sub-religions, but it's polytheistic, meaning that we believe in one. We believe in more than one god or goddess. We believe in the duality of deity, which are gods and goddesses. So we can, like other non-traditional religions, we know that there's a higher power, and we also call it different names. I know that traditional religions believe in God and Jesus, but we believe more in the energy and a lot of Greek mythology as well. But there's no one true form of Wicca, which is why it's individualized. It's there are covens and sects that practice different theologies. They have different books of shadows, which are rituals. We don't practice all the same thing, and with because it's non-traditional, there's no sort of one true form. There's no governing agency. There's no spiritual leaders or recognized prophets. It's truly just, it's centered around mother. It's centered around earth. It's centered around nature. But I, not all pagans are Wiccans. Not all Wiccans are witches. And not all of those areas practice witchcraft. So it's just very different. You don't, there, like I said, there is no one true form at all.
Right. So you are a practicing Wiccan, correct?
I am. Yeah. So I'll harness the, if I'm going to do magic, for example, I will harness the earth's natural energies, which are like crystals, herbs, candles, which, you know, beeswax, and then the elements to affect any to change. So I will use the lunar phases, like certain moons are, for me personally, and I am talking about personally, are more powerful than others. But that doesn't mean that if it's not a full moon, I'm not going to go practice magic. I will. It just, there's different energies that affect change for me. And then,
but hang on, when you say practice magic, what does that actually mean? Like you're talking to the spirits, what are you doing?
Okay. So if for example, I am looking for a sign, and I have something very specific in mind, I will light a candle for myself. I will usually light incense because, you know, I do sage, which means I cleanse my area of any negative energy. If I bring in negative energy, if it's my own negative energy, I make sure I get rid of that. And I will just focus on what my question is. And I will repeat it. And repetition is very good with this as well, by the way, so that I can look for signs. So if I am asking for an answer on a direct question, once I'm done and I thank, you know, who I'm talking to, then I usually get my signs within a day.
Wow.
The spell work also, you know, will include certain herbs, if you want to use herbs. But I think I mainly do sort of my average thing would be that I do, I would say candle work more than anything, and crystals, obviously crystals.
But are people coming to you and hiring you to do readings or things, or this is just something you do within your own personal life?
Yeah, I see. I think this is for me again personally. Everybody operates differently. I know of an incredibly talented witch that reads cards. That's not something that I do. If I have friends of mine that are, need some help, I definitely will help them. But I don't, it's not a service that I offer.
Right. So people aren't coming to you and saying, can you call upon my, dead parent or whatever? Can we have a conversation? Or I just met somebody. Can you put a spell on them to make them fall madly in love with me? They're not conjuring.
No, they are asking me
Oh, they
that.
are.
Definitely. I even have people that, DM me on Instagram asking me to do things. I mean, if there's something that if I read, and I have done it, if I read a DM from somebody that's in a situation, I don't necessarily have to do candle work, but I can try to tap into their energy and create movement for them if
Do you
they're.
believe that? I've heard people say before, like a spell was put on you, years ago before you were even born. I don't really know what that means. And you're reliving the same problem or same path until that spell gets broken. Is that a real thing?
I mean, yeah, it's definitely a real thing. I don't know how common it is anymore because I really don't come across that. I definitely do believe in what would be called a curse.
Curse, right.
Yeah.
You do believe that. Okay.
Oh yeah, I do. I definitely do. I
And it's
think
not like what we see in the movies where somebody takes a little voodoo doll and hits it with needles. Is it a bigger deal than that?
I mean, there's that
There
too.
is? Oh my God.
Well, there's different religions as well, as you know. I mean, I have made effigies out of wax before when I was younger.
My gosh.
I know. But no, I think what I've sort of, I've seen a lot of these movies on magic or witches or whatnot, and some of
Yeah.
them are like, oh, fuck this shit. I'm like, I'm not. It irks me because it's just, I feel like it's taking the piss out of something that should be protected. But then if you're dealing with dark magic, and by the way, that could be the same thing said about Christianity, because if you invert the cross, you're inviting something negative in. That's with any religion across the board, traditional, non-traditional. There is good and there's bad.
Right. I agree with that. Well, that was the next thing I was going to ask you, because another thing that's often misunderstood, it's like centuries of stereotypes and fears, I think, that has been conjured up. I think people associate witches with secrecy, and it's not necessarily, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm just talking here, but it's not necessarily secrecy from what you guys are hiding. It's more that in the olden days, people thought you were a witch and they would stone you to death. So you would want to keep secret your beliefs, I would think. But I think there's a stereotype that goes along with people who are practicing Wiccans or witches or pagans are secretive people. And I don't necessarily know that that's the case for what the reason is that they think it is.
No, it's not for the reason that they think it is. It's literally self-preservation. Anytime, even you go back to the 1600s, women that were healers, and they weren't witches, but they were healers, they were considered witches because they had an ability to heal somebody. That was a gift. It wasn't that they were practicing witch, but they also, connected with the earth and nature, and they used certain herbs to uses remedies. No, the secrecy was because of the, for example, the Salem witch trials. And I also think, and this is something that, I am all about the feminine. And I think anytime, and especially if you talk about centuries and centuries ago, anytime a woman displayed any sort of power, it threatened a man who was in power. And I think it was a way of silencing. I think it was a way of taking away their power from having a voice. But secrecy, you know, me growing up, for example, I wasn't overtly talking about what I believed in because there was a stigma attached to it.
Right.
And I had already experienced that as a kid. I'd watched my grandmother. I mean, people were afraid of my grandmother, but you know, the secrecy was to protect oneself
Yeah.
persecution. And
Earlier, oh, go ahead.
sorry, and for me, it's not something, you know, that I spoke openly about, but anybody that was close to me knew what I did, but it wasn't like I was, you know, blowing my trumpet to announce what I was doing because you don't want to encourage any sort of negative attack.
Sure, of course. Earlier, you mentioned that sometimes when you were younger, you had to hide to witness some of the things that your grandmother was doing. Can you tell us a little bit, like the stuff that she would do or why she was intimidating to people?
Well, I think with my grandmother, she recognized how powerful she was. She did have people that would ask her to do spell work for her, definitely. I would sometimes peek in, we're all sort of like through the crack of a door to see what she was doing. But it wasn't something that she spoke out about either, not even with me or my mum. It was just understood. It was not something that we came together, you know, on certain seasons or solstice or equinox. She was private about it.
Right.
I am too. You know, I don't, I mean, yes, now I've had the platform of housewives. I'm okay to talk about it, but before that, I didn't, you know, I just was used to protecting it.
Sure.
It's sacred to me.
I'm curious about the rituals and the spells. Again, the stigma is that witches are sitting around with black hats and stirring a hot pot, a hot cauldron, and speaking into it. What is the reality of creating spells or rituals?
The reality is that we're doing that to affect a change, a needed change, a positive change. If we're just talking about Wicca right now, so it's a way to connect with the natural energies that are around us, to align yourself with them, tap into them, and ultimately ask permission to borrow it, because everything around us with nature is vibration. So that's, and so are we. So that's how we connect. Like, even just, yeah, animals, plants, you name it. We tap into that energy to affect a needed change.
So,
If
if people are listening and they are not, obviously not a practicing Wiccan, but they want to affect a change, whatever that might be for them, something with their health, something that they want to get some toxic energy out of their elements, if they want to bring a romantic relationship into their life, a business relationship, whatever it is there something you could suggest for people to do or say to change the energy to call something positive into their world?
There, yeah, there are some things. Again, okay, so I have been asked to do spells for people because they're being blocked by something, whether it's themselves, or someone else, or they, you know, there's an opportunity that they really, really want, whether it's a job or whatnot, and what can they do that? But it's something that I would do for them.
Oh,
It's
I
not,
see. Okay.
yeah, so it's not
So it's
necessarily.
not like you could give us a piece of advice on like repeating certain words or sitting at a certain type of day and thinking about something. I don't know. I'm making this up, obviously.
Well, I mean, I think that you can manifest, and that's not necessarily spell work, but you can, If a person's already asking that, that's because they're already connected to some sort of form of spirituality where they do believe in that there's a higher power. And I'm not talking traditional religion. So they're already there. They're already connected. So if I suggest, you know what, go out on the full bloody moon, sit outside, completely quieten your mind, quieten yourself. Now, this is also like meditation. And you can write down what you're asking for, and you can repeat it. Now you're talking to, the moon. You're the who, that is my divine. Excuse me. My God, I messed up that word. Divine energy. So you connect to that energy, and I know that works 100%. So you can manifest for yourself, definitely.
Okay, so wait, I love that you're suggesting the full moon. What is it about the full moon?
Well, the full moon is we. That's what I follow. So we follow lunar phases and seasons. So with the full moon, it's this miracle. It's the moon. It has so much power and so much energy. It affects the way that oceans move. It has the way it's naturally creating movement through our lives. So of course it's going to be a source of energy to try and tap into, and also be respectful. I know I'm kind of like blanking right now, but because
No,
I
I think it's really interesting because, people that do not follow this don't know anything about this. So, if I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, oh, I want to make a change in my life, what would I do? Now I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to go look in wherever I can Google it to see when the next full moon is. And maybe I'll go sit outside and make a wish list or manifest, like what you're talking about, things that I want into my life. Maybe that'll work for me. You know what I mean? Like that, I
It
think
does.
that's important for our listeners to know.
Yeah, thank you. No, I know anybody can literally connect with energies, natural energies around us, which is my faith, which is nature-based, and a spiritual faith. And I'm not the only faith that believes in this. But yeah, we all have that power. We just need to sort of know that we have that power within us to connect and to be able to change things. We can manifest. If you are constantly thinking about something that needs to change in your life, it will change. If you are positive about it and you're recognizing that there is a higher power helping you to affect that change, it will work. It's just about, it literally is about finally people tapping into Mother Nature and to natural energies as resources.
And I'm curious about what people like you and your religion think of Halloween. I mean, obviously that must be the is I mean, maybe not obviously. Is it your favorite time of year?
Yeah, but it's my favorite time of year for a few reasons. One is because myself and my daughter have birthdays in October, but then Halloween for me, I get so excited by the macabre. So I love having creepy decorations. I really do. It gets me giggly. I even when my children were young, I mean, I would have this guy here out, and at first it didn't go down too well, but they finally got used to it. I do have that fun side of me where I do love the macabre. I love horror films. I love being scared. I love scaring people. I constantly am trying to jump out on my one daughter who really doesn't flinch, and it's so dissatisfying. But then her boyfriend, my son and I will put on, costumes and then really creepy masks and hide from him and then jump out. And just to hear him squeal gives me life.
Oh, this poor guy.
And no, he like we'll hide behind counters and pop out. But yeah, no, I love dressing up as well. I mean, half the stuff my friends say is in my wardrobe, which is fairly true.
But and you dress this way all year round, right? I mean, I see you have these beautiful nails, and you're all in black. But is this your year-round attire?
Pretty much. I mean, it's yeah, my friends have called it a uniform. I love black. I always have. Black absorbs all the colors of the spectrum. So I feel like I'm colorful all the time. And I'm very comfortable in it. And maybe I did on Housewives, I started to branch out in colors. And I didn't, and especially going into that bloody environment, with sharks in the water, I didn't feel like I had armor on. But yeah, I do. I think with fashion, I love sort of like this Gothic Victorian style that really sort of satisfies my soul. Same thing with Gothic architecture, and antiques. It's something that feels very familiar with me, and it just makes me feel very calm.
So I love, by the way, I love your kids' names, Destiny, Mystery, and Cross. Did I get that right? Gorgeous, gorgeous names that obviously represent this whole lifestyle. So it's not just a phase, obviously, for you. Are they practicing Wiccans? Are they like you were when you were a child? Do you feel like they have something inside of them?
I 100% know they all do. They've all displayed it. When it's funny because somebody had asked me when I was pregnant with my first daughter, Destiny, if I was going to introduce her, like, would she be a witch? Like, would she be Wiccan? And I was very adamant with all my children that they needed to make the decision when they were able to or aware of what religion resonated with them. And it could be anything. It wasn't my decision. It was something that they would connect with. And now that, especially my two daughters who are now officially adults, yes, they are. But I had seen, when they were younger, the girls especially, because there's an age gap between my daughters and my son, when they were younger and we were going to bed at night, I would have to read them stories every bloody night, and they would always be these mythical stories about the unicorns and Pegasus and the dragons, and just, to help them fall asleep, which it did. It was wonderful. And so they naturally were being brought up into an environment that believed in magic. And when there was one instance actually with my daughter Destiny, where she was at school and she was young. I think she was probably, I don't know, she was maybe in third grade, but or third or fourth grade, but they had to write a little story about how they get to an island. And Destiny wrote about a story where she was on a unicorn Pegasus. And that she flew to the island, and there was mermaids in the ocean, and she was speaking to the animals, and she was like a regular little Dr. Doolittle. And the teacher, who was familiar with her, asked her if she ever wrote anything real. And it really distressed her. And she came home and she told me that. And I said, "Well, what did you say to the teacher?" And she said, she told her that this is real for her. She believes, because we believe in parallel universes. So, we don't have these stories. I said to her, "Well, what you say to her next time, or anybody else that sort of says, why do you believe in magic, or why do you believe in dragons?" You say to them, "Would you have ever thought that dinosaurs ever existed until we found the bones of these giant creatures?" So that was my logic. Like, of course it bloody exists for us in our world, it exists. And if you don't believe in it, you're not going to see it, or you won't be aware of its presence. But yeah, so now the girls are older. They are psychic, extremely intuitive. They work with crystals, especially with the full moon. They're about manifesting. Since coming to Miami and sort of settling in, my daughter, well, actually, first of all, my children live with me, except for Destiny. She has her own place, but she is currently in Milan, modeling, and she's 5'10", so beautiful, and such an incredible artist. And I actually want her to pursue her art and get it out there, because I feel like she produces the most ethereal, just thought-provoking art, and I just think it's a crime that she doesn't share it. And then my other daughter, Mystery, who just recently turned 21, is pursuing her singing career and looking to form a band. It's sort of a mystical rock vibe. She writes her own songs with this sort of very feminine, empowering message, which very ethereal, which I'm really, really excited about. And then my son, Cross, is at school pursuing studies. But yeah, it's just it's lovely to witness my children on their own paths, which is sort of a new chapter in their story. And I'm really, really proud of them. Yeah, they also have a message that they want to convey and have a platform, which I'm really hoping this materializes. In fact, I know it will materialize for them.
Wow. So, all right, can you explain to people what a day in the life is for someone like you right now? I mean, I don't think you're just sitting around in front of a cauldron, giving out spells. So tell me what you do all day.
Well, that's the morning, I'll have you know. Actually, okay, so we moved from LA to Miami, literally right as
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. Forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
COVID hit, so that was fabulous. So it was sort of like like everybody else, nothing really was happening for 2 years. And I had divorced my ex of 19 years. The irony is, we all moved out to Miami together. My children ended up living with me, but we finally, even while I was getting divorced from David, we were still living under the same roof, which was odd to say the least. But we finally got to Miami and started to get settled. But it was rough in the beginning because my divorce was fairly contentious, and so yeah, it was rough. So those 2 years were more about me healing and getting my children settled, which they are all now.
Do you have a good relationship with him now, at least with co-parenting? And I mean, I know two of the girls are older, but.
Well, yeah, but we were always a super, super tightly knit family unit. And even when I told him, I wanted to get separated, I said, because we were best friends, and I said, I still want us to be good friends. There doesn't need to be any animosity. Let's do this smoothly. And when I was finally like, I want to get divorced. I need to be separated completely. It literally went sideways, and I felt incredibly vulnerable And you know, everyone that goes through divorce will feel like they've been taken advantage of, you know, hoodwinked, and I did. And everything, as in my opinion, while we were out here in Miami, we said that we wanted a truce with one another, and so we literally spent every birthday with our children together, every holiday together. But recently, it got very toxic. You know, I felt like, well, with my marriage, it started to get very controlling and stifling. It felt the same thing with me really trying to be friends with him.
Right.
It was not working. And so no, we are not great at all. But I just want to get to a point where, and I think it just happened actually, where, you know, the ties are cut.
Right. Are you able to, first of all, if you date somebody, do they have to be Wiccan or believe in witchcraft?
So,
Say that again.
just hot.
Just hot. Oh, okay. So you don't care what really, will you, are you on like any of the dating apps? Are you dating somebody right now?
No, I'm not. I haven't
Oh.
even explored dating out here. I'm like literally, I think I'm so, now that I'm sort of, I feel like I've gone through my whole healing part. Now I'm contemplating. I mean, I have a couple of my best friends that live out here, and my one friend Hope, she says I have cobwebs, which she's probably accurate about. But he keeps telling me that I have to take it out for a test drive, which I don't right now. The idea of dating is not really in my peripheral. I certainly do look at pretty things, but I just right now I want to focus on, now that you know I'm emotionally available again, I just want to focus on the projects that I want to get going.
Right. Okay, so tell me about those because they all sound very interesting.
Okay, so
I know one of them is you're working on a helping with boutique hotels, or is there just one? You have a past in interior design and architecture, correct?
I do.
Yeah.
Actually, I built houses with my brother-in-law back in Los Angeles, but it was primarily in Calabasas. And then I ended up designing our own Gothic home, which you see on The Housewives, which was such a labor of love. When David and I were on our honeymoon, we went to part of it, we went to Venice, and I was obsessed and I always have been, but I was obsessed with the Venetian architecture. And I incorporated that into the designs of the house that we ended up building. And I actually built it with my brother-in-law.
Wow.
And when we were laying down the foundation, I cut myself to put my blood in the foundation to secure it and to keep it safe. And then
Wow.
buried smoky quartz in the four corners of the property to protect us.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, but I love architecture. That's why I love Miami, because I love actually Art Deco as well. So I have three projects that I'm super passionate about, which I've thought about for a few years now, except for my last one. But yes, I have been wanting to design a boutique hotel that, again, is focused on my beliefs, which is nature, spirituality. And I'm right now designing rooms that will either be in a 13 floor boutique hotel, or I'll have 13 rooms on a 5 floor. It depends. And also, you know, in Miami, there's a lot of buildings that could definitely be renovated, and you keep the original Art Deco architecture, which is stunning. But when you walk in, it's an immersive experience, because what you walk into an Art Deco building, and then each room is strategically designed with a theme, and not like a Disney theme. It's to do with the elements. It's to do, you know, because with the pentacle and the five-pointed pentagram, they represent goddess, earth, air, fire, water. But I want to incorporate
Oh, so
that.
it's not like every room's going to be haunted with a different
I
spirit.
mean, only if you want it to be.
Oh, well, that could be so fun. It could be like,
I would love.
how long can you stay in the room without the spirit coming out and freaking you out?
I know. I don't even love getting scared, though. I love
Yes, I think that would be so fun. Every so often you read about a hotel somewhere in some random place that people believe is haunted and or a certain room that's haunted, and you kind of want to go there and see if it's all
it.
fake, you know?
No, I do. I absolutely do. But so anyway, so I'm going to draw on the inspiration of my Wiccan beliefs and my love for nature. So it, but I think my main focus is sustainability, and I want to make it a green environment. I'm all about natural resources, and I do want to incorporate that. And I also want to the I want to use like locally sourced materials and local artisans. I want to make everything local and give
So, do
back to
you
the
have a location for this already, or you're just coming up with
I've
plans?
seen a few locations. I actually want to finish the plans like 100% because I don't want to put it out there in the universe until I know exactly what I want it to be, because then for me, that's when I'll do my manifesting.
Got it. Okay. So, it's not about finding the location that represents this to you and creating it. It's about creating it and bring it to wherever you want it to be.
Exactly. I want to bring it to life. But with the theme rooms, I'm a big believer in sacred geometry as well, so I want to incorporate that into one of the rooms. But every single room will have sort of an immersive experience. It's something that I'm super passionate about, because I'm all about the details, and they say the devil's in the details, and it literally is. And I'm not going to be conjuring the devil, but I'm just saying that details are everything, and I want somebody to just feel a connection with these places, these rooms. And also I want to have a club in there and a restaurant. But am I
And
spiritually based shop, obviously, for
of course,
candles?
I'm already seeing this before you're saying it. And do you feel that this is going to be in Miami, or is this more of like a Vegas thing, or what, where will it be?
I want it in Miami. I am so in love with Miami. I'd never thought that I would feel that way about another place, because I was in love with Los Angeles for 20 plus years. But when I came to Miami, when we were looking for places to live, the energy that Miami gives me is so healing. It's such a, first of all, it's a diverse culture. The just everything about it feeds me. It's amazing, and the ocean is healing. It reminds me of Kona's, in Hawaii, the ocean. It just has a different vibration for me, and that's actually where my children and I used to spend most of our time during COVID. But I want this. I don't know. I'm excited because I want to give to the community that I live in. I want finally to be able to contribute. My faith is, yes, it is nature-based spirituality, and I want to be now able to be in a position to make a difference. And I want to promote, natural energy. Yeah, I want to leave a clean footprint when I go.
I
I
love
really,
that.
yeah.
I know this. I mean, this question kind of sounds below you, but I will ask, did you find it was important having that platform to be a Bravo star? Really puts you on a different level. Would you ever want to be on the Housewives of Miami? Would that help you with what you're talking about and having a clean energy platform? Do you feel like that helps, or you don't care?
No, I definitely look. I am forever grateful for Housewives. Sorry, I think my battery's about to die. I'm going to grab my charger. So, no, I am forget. I'm forever grateful for Housewives. It's nothing that I have no regrets about doing it. And, but I don't think I want to do another reality housewife show again. It served a purpose for a year. And it certainly, even however many years later, I still get DM from people that are interested in Wicca. Like, it's, Wicca is not a faith that you start We don't, what is the word? Oh, I can't remember the word, I'm sorry. But the Wiccan faith is something that you alone discover. So if you have an interest, you'll find a way to just explore it. It's not, we don't recruit. That's not what,
I see
that's,
what you're saying. Yeah.
yeah, it's not that. But
Right.
I think with the project, with the hotel and with my faith, it aligns so perfectly, because with the pentagram, with the 5 points, like I said, is earth, spirit, earth, wind, fire, water. That is also that's renewable energy. You've got your sun, you've got, which is solar energy, you have your hydro energy, your water, you have your wind, which are wind turbines, which they don't allow in Miami. And then you have the earth's energy, which is the heat that earth naturally creates. So it just, for some reason, everything clicked for me with all of these projects that I want to do. And it is my time to give back. It really is, to make a difference.
You spoke earlier about a hydrogen energy project. Is that something different than the boutique hotel?
Yes, definitely. I mean, I want to incorporate it. So this one, it sort of fell into my lap, but it's a boy. So especially in the cold parts of America, so people use fossil fuel to heat up their boilers to produce heat. This is a boiler that is a combination boiler, so it uses electric. So the maintenance on it is almost non-existent. It's been tested in the market for at least 6 years in Europe, and it's not available yet in America. And it's another way to bring the way that solar panel energy is out here. It's another way to bring that renewable energy without depleting the natural resources of Mother Nature, because once they're gone, they are gone permanently. And you can't replenish them, but it's just for, I am intrigued by it. I am exploring it further, obviously, but it's something that will make a huge difference. And the substantial savings that you would save on bills, because you're not using gas and you're not letting out greenhouse gases into the environment. You're not destroying, you're just not destroying the atmosphere, is something that I want to definitely get involved with. The problem is with me, when I start learning about something, I go down a rabbit hole. So I'll start trying to understand how do you extract heat from the Earth's core? Like, how with the natural gases, for example, with the oils, like how does it all work? And the problem is, it's such an infinite subject, and it
Yeah,
gets
there's so much information. You could be
It's
on it
so
for years.
confusing, and I think that is the problem. They, for anybody that wants to switch over to green energy, it's a complicated subject to understand, and it needs to be sort of a 101 guide. It is not that complicated if you're just dealing with the surface part of it. And people, especially out here in Miami, they have switched and are continuing to switch to solar panels. This company that I'm interested in right now, they make the solar cells. They are sort of a one-stop place. So they, in Europe right now, they manufacture, they produce, they install, and they maintain it. Out here, you don't have that. For example, with the solar panels out here, you buy the solar panels. They're not custom made to your roof. You have to then get another person to install it. Then you have to get another person to maintain it. So you're having sort of all these cooks in the kitchen, and they don't always know what they're doing. So it can screw up the system. But with this company, it would be based now in America. It would just be your one point person. And
Right.
that's what I think appealing to me is, they literally make, they produce it, they make it, they manufacture it.
Right.
Yeah.
I want to ask you one more question. I know you said you don't want to do like another Housewives type show. Would you ever do another reality show?
Okay, well, I'm happy you asked.
Mm-hmm.
I finished writing. I'm so excited about this because it tickles my fancy. It's a reality. It's okay. So it's a paranormal reality show, and they are out there for sure. But this is very different. Except for the fact that yes, we would be traveling across the country to renowned haunted sites. I would be inviting a celebrity guest to join me for the day. We would also go into the, we would explore sort of like the folklore of the location. We would explore the history of the location. And I would be traveling. I have two really good friends of mine that would be traveling with me because they tend to bring out the wicked in me and the mischievous. So, like when I think about them, I get giggly because the my one friend, I love to jump scare him, and I've never heard such a shrill, like a high pitched shrill. And that, okay, so anyway, I digress. But anyway, part of this would be going to the haunted location, and the twist is that we would stay there overnight. And that's where I get excited about because I love to tell ghost stories, and it would just, it's a, I think the reason why I think it's a unique concept is because it blends genuine human fear with humor. So it's not just, you know, focusing on, it is, by the way, treating the environment, the location respectfully, because I do know that most of these places are haunted. So you're dealing with spirits, and that's something that you don't screw with. I would definitely have my little prayer of protection for myself and the crew, and the guests that's coming in, because yes, you can enjoy the sort of journey on it, but you also have to be respectful. You're not trying to sort of goad a spirit into appearing because they're going to mess with you and they'll probably go home with you, which you do not want. No, you don't want anything negative attaching itself to you.
So do you believe that there are spirits that are negative or have negative intentions that, you know, when you hear about people saying, I've seen a spirit, it's haunting me, and then you see these movies about negative spirits and houses where people move in. Is there such a thing, or are spirits usually good or trapped here? What are spirits?
It's a combination. Yes, I believe in all of that. I believe in malevolent spirits. I believe in poltergeists that, you know, can physically, you know, objects physically move.
That
I
was my
believe.
favorite movie when I was a child, by the way. Do you
My
remember that
God,
movie,
yeah.
Poltergeist? Oh,
Obsessed.
I've seen it 100 times.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Don't look at the
And it
light.
breathes well, you know, it still kind of gets you chilly on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I.
And by the way, sorry, I digress too. Most of the cast members are dead, which I think is crazy.
Oh, I know. And the same could be said for The Omen.
That's right.
Yes.
Yes,
Oh,
that
I
was a
mean,
scary one.
that was bloody creepy.
Yeah,
Yes. The
correct.
Exorcist. The Exorcist too.
I've never seen The Exorcist.
Oh, I saw it when I was really young. That did put the fear of a god inside of
I
me.
have a pair. I have a paralyzing fear of throwing up, and I always heard that there was that one
Oh
scene where she throws up, so I've never seen it.
my God, can I show you something really quick?
Sure. Is it somebody throwing up though?
No, hold up.
Okay. This is so fun. Oh my God.
Exorcist. And
With the
her,
crow up coming out of the mouth.
yeah, as you can see, she's a little green here, and yes, it's dribbling. But I don't know if I have batteries in her, but let me just see something. Hold on. She,
Oh, the head spins.
Sorry.
I love it. Oh my God, and the lights, the eyes are going. Is she going to start spouting vomit?
No, I wish she did. That would have been a wonderful feature.
Would be
But yeah,
amazing.
so no, but I definitely 100% believe in energies, positive and negative or otherwise.
Right.
Like I when we moved into this building, for the longest time, for probably about a year, I would see in my peripheral something walk by me. And I remember one day thinking, okay, well, this is not a new building. It's been renovated. It used to be a hospital. And I'm like, please don't let it be an insane asylum. But it was actually a heart hospital. But obviously people died here. They had a mortuary downstairs. So when we moved in, we'd people that worked here would tell us that there was a certain floor that was definitely haunted. And we would go, and we were, this was like The Shining. I'm not joking. My children, the three of them, and myself, and this other young lady that used to work here, we would go up to this floor. We would go down the hallway, and you literally, I'm not joking, you would feel like you walked into a freezer. It was just, you could feel like the hairs on your back of your neck. It's not a joke. But I've seen a little boy in here before, quite a few times, and my daughter's heard people. Yeah, so has my son.
Wow.
Son has run into my room.
I'm just curious now, personally, just because I don't, I'm not somebody who, for whatever reason, believes in spirits. So for me, I was engaged to somebody who was killed, and my father died when I was very young. And people are always like, oh, you should talk to them and they'll hear you. Do you believe in that stuff?
Yeah, I definitely do. When my grandfather passed, who I think he literally was the only man that I've ever had respect for, I was devastated. So when I knew he would, again, same situation. So I saw him. He was leaving to go to South Africa. He was a big gambler, a successful one. And he would go to South Africa every year, and he would bet on the horses out there. And I was with him, and I asked him, "Please don't leave me. I feel like something bad is going to happen." And he said, "Oh, he'll be fine. He'll be fine." And I felt it. Like I felt this dread inside of me, and it's something that you can taste. For me, whenever I feel that feeling, it's such a visceral ex just energy. But I could taste it as well. And he did. He left, and he was in South Africa. And I was doing something in my apartment. I don't remember what it was, but I suddenly just sort of had this knowing that he died. And my mum called me and told me, I think it was a day later, because we weren't notified right away, but he was sitting at a table with a bunch of, ironically, heart surgeons, and he had a massive heart attack. And I mean, he was just gone. There was nothing. And that night, I couldn't feel him, and I was really upset because this is something that's familiar with me. I was really mad, and I wanted to feel him, and I couldn't feel him. And then I started to talk, and I just kept asking him to please make himself known to me, because I couldn't feel his energy. So I just wanted to maybe see signs of him. And I started to be aware of like little signs, or even like numbers that would be his favorite number. I started to see that. And then I would see, he loved jacaranda trees, and I would see, like, I would be driving somewhere and I would see a jacaranda tree. But all of those were, and I know for a fact, were signs that he was with me. And even to this day, and this, he died years and years ago, even to this day, and I have a photograph of him where I will light a candle and I'll start talking to him, just, and I speak out loud, because, and even with spell work, you need to hear yourself. It's not just an internal thing. I talk to him, and if I'm in a predicament or whatnot, I will ask for advice, or I'll ask him to sort of guide me. And I definitely know, and I definitely feel a presence. And it's not always so obvious either. I mean, we were talking about, spirits and entities and energies. They can definitely make you very aware that they're there, but then you have the very subtle ones. And that's why you have to always be open and accessible to allow yourself to be connected, to receive messages, to receive signs. You have to start paying attention, because most of us, we disconnect, or we sleepwalk through life.
Sure.
But if you start making yourself aware that you want to see the beauty around you, or you want to see signs, you will. You literally, literally will.
Hmm.
If you're
Are
given them
you
permission.
Are you scared of death? Is that something that scares people like
No.
you?
No. Well, before I had children, I was never afraid of death. It didn't, I don't think, up until I had children, I don't think I was scared of anything. Nothing, people didn't frighten me. Certainly not spirits or energies. You know, bad people, I've met bad people. I have felt them. But they don't frighten me. I just know that you've got to get yourself out of that. You've got to remove yourself from them somehow without setting off their little crazy minds. But sorry, what was the question? I got distracted by the
If
bell.
you were scared of death.
Oh no, so when I had, I always felt like I was immortal when I was a kid. I didn't see, like, I would try and picture the way that I was going to die, and I could never see it. And never felt afraid of any of that. But then when I got pregnant with all three of them, that's when I sort of felt mortality, and that's when I felt afraid, because I was responsible for a human life. I was responsible to keep them alive, especially when the newborns, and that terrified me. And I think that sort of allowed me to experience fear on it on for the first time. But now that they're older and they, you know, they make their own decisions, they have their own opinions, they know, I have taught my children very, very well of signs to look for in people, in an environment when you walk in. And to tune in, like listen to your gut. If you have a nagging feeling in your pit of your stomach, that is you being alerted to remove, get out of a situation. Even if you can't see it, it's there, it's present, and it's dangerous.
Right.
And now that I know that they're, you know, weaponized with that sort of information, I'm not the I the idea of dying, I feel like I'm not supposed to yet. I don't believe that I've been put on this. I don't think my time's up yet, because I know that I'm supposed to be here to make a difference. And
But do you believe when you die, it's just lights out, or you believe you still go on in another form?
100%, I believe in reincarnation.
You do.
Yes, I
Okay.
do. I recognized my children. I know they've recognized me. I believe that children choose their parents. With my son Cross, I had both my daughters, and I knew that I was supposed to have a boy. And this was like coming towards the end, where my marriage was starting to unravel, and I was like, I have to have my son. I know I'm supposed to have him, because before Destiny, I had I think it's called an ectopic pregnancy. Okay, so that's what I had. And that'll bring me to another subject in a minute. But so I had to get a DNC. So technically, you know, they go in and they remove the fetus or whatever. And I'm on the thing, baby. So I had the ectopic pregnancy. I had to go to the hospital, and I knew that that spirit of that baby, and I didn't obviously know what it was my son. And then I got pregnant, and I had Destiny, and then I got pregnant again, and I had Mystery. And then I was like, my son is waiting for me. Like, he is waiting in the wings for me. And then I got pregnant, and I knew I was pregnant with a boy, and I knew that it was him waiting there for me. And it was. And actually, my pregnancy with him was so different from having girls, because I actually felt like I was a vessel, that he was an alien inside of me. Because I remember asking my doctor, does he have a tail? Because I cannot connect with this child of mine, you know, because when I was pregnant, I was always talking to the girls and they would move accordingly. But
Right.
with my son, I couldn't connect. But yes, I do believe that. I do believe in the afterlife. I do believe that I know I've lived many lifetimes. I know that my children have, and I know that we have known each other, just not in the same, you know, not always as male and female.
Right. Brilliant. Okay, I mean, I could talk to you forever. I cannot end this interview without asking about your relationship, however, with your former friend, Kyle. I have a question about your thoughts. And again, you said you don't watch the show, but
No.
do you believe this whole thing that she's now a lesbian?
Okay. So just because I don't watch it, basically most of my friends are gay, so they do keep me up to date.
Okay.
Yeah. So they, like, some of the boys have said to me that, oh, Kyle's now come out as a lesbian. And I'm like, was that for her storyline? Because God knows she was always desperately in need of one. And I don't know. Look, I don't know that I necessarily, and I know this may cause a little stir, but I don't know necessarily that we're all sort of straight, I guess. I think that for me, I fall in love with energy. So I haven't ever fallen in love with a woman, that's to say, but I think women are beautiful, and do I find them attractive in a way that is not just platonic? Yes, I have, for sure. But my preference is men, but not to say I haven't dabbled either. So I don't know with her. I don't think she knows who she is. I really don't. I think she cre has created such a fictitious persona for herself that there's no one home. You know, I think that she's so trapped by this whatever she's created for herself. And that's what I witness, which is why, you know, yeah, she's probably, she's a different breed of vile. Like, she really is. She's probably one of, and I don't say this lightly, but she is one of the most narcissistic, toxic energies that I literally had the misfortune of meeting. She
Did she
went
give you that physical taste that you talk about?
out. Yeah. And I felt it immediately when I met her. And I really did try to push through it so that I because obviously we're filming a bloody show, and I had never watched her before. I'd never watched Housewives before. So she had. And I had heard this, that she was saying this, that I, when stuff, you know, when I started to sort of take her on, she said that I had preconceived notions because I'd watched the show. Honestly, if I had watched the show and witnessed some of the heinous shit she had done, there's no way I would have given her the time of day. Because when I told the producers, you know, number one, my don't exploit my faith, and also I'm not changing who I am. So what you see is what you get, good and bad. But she, oh, yeah, I just, it, sometimes I'm speechless with her. You know, for example, what she did to her own sister. Now, I met Kim, I hung out with her. She's such, for me, now I didn't watch her on the show before. I don't know, like, what made her angry to other people, but what I do know is what I encountered. So if I have a friend that doesn't like my other friend, that's not going to make me stop. I'll just keep you separate. If I like you, I like you, and no one is going to determine that for me. But what she, when I was on the show, what she did to me, because she wasn't getting the upper hand on me. She accused me of being anti-Semitic. And that literally was by far one of the worst experiences I've had in my life, to be accused of that. Because it was just, it was shocking. It was beyond shocking. And it was so calculated and so manipulated, and so defamatory, because she knew, obviously the producers had told her I'd gotten a new tattoo on the back of my neck, and she asked to see it, and I was hosting a pool party at the house. So when she pulled back my hair to have a look at it, And she went, "Oh, is that the Star of David?" And I was like, "This bitch knows that I'm a Wiccan." And what aggravated me was, number one, if you cannot tell the difference between your own Jewish faith symbol, the Star of David, that has 6 points and does not look like a five-pointed pentagram within the pentacle, then you really are not a strong believer in your own faith. And that's when she then spiraled into calling me anti-Semitic. And it shouldn't surprise me, because if she like what she did to her own sister, that she outed her on national TV and shamed her for alcoholism. It's no surprise to me that Kim never recovered, because I don't know that if you're in the public eye, and this was, again, however many years ago, people weren't so accepting of people having their own trauma and dealing with it the way that they could only deal with it. It surprised me that she would do something so horrific to her own sister. And I definitely believe she did that. She used it for her own storyline, because she's so bloody boring.
Were you surprised about the dissolution of the marriage between her and Mauricio?
No, not at all. I mean, I'd heard rumors as well about their marriage. I'm not going to go into
But I mean,
detail.
did you like people always were saying that it was him and she's the one that got out because he was so terrible. Is that what you saw?
No. I don't know that he was so terrible. I didn't witness it. I mean, he did actually place a phone call to my ex when we were about to join the show. And I mean, he basically said to David that don't, the husband that killed himself, that
Oh,
was
yeah.
okay. He basically, I don't know his name, but he basically said to David, don't do a referencing that man's name, meaning like this, you're going into an environment that is like dangerous.
Oh, like to protect yourself, don't end up killing yourself like this guy did.
Yes. And it was so,
Wow.
David didn't even know him. It was so inappropriate. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what I don't care what went on in their marriage. I'm not surprised that it's over, but they also had a long marriage. I had a marriage of 19 years. It's over. I don't know that we're meant to stay together that long. Who knows?
No, I understand. And it's a shame when people say it means it didn't work or wasn't successful. It was. You got three beautiful kids. You have a whole, that was your chapter. Now you can have another one.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that means it didn't last.
No, but she's a horrid, horrid human being, and completely just manipulative, getting
I think
people.
she won Reality Star of the Year or something this year. Or
Congrats.
like most famous, I don't know the word, but she won some award. I just saw her doing an interview. So clearly you wouldn't have voted for her.
Oh, I would for another second.
Okay, Carlton, I enjoy talking to you so much. I really could talk to you more and more and more. So, but we have to go. I hope that one day you will come back and we'll talk about fun other things. When you get your boutique hotel up and running, I want to come check it out.
Yes.
And we'll do more. We'll talk about that. I think that you should film some scenes of you getting that together. I think that's super cool.
Oh, I
And
love that.
I think it's a great idea. And that could be a reality show in it of itself, getting that built and
Would you be a guest on my little paranormal reality show?
100%. Because I'm always dying for someone to show me that there's some paranormal activity.
Oh my
By the
God.
way, that movie or that TV show, whatever it was, where like you see the black and white of the people sleeping, and all of a sudden they're yanked out of bed. Do you know what I'm talking about? It was called Paranormal Activity. I think it's a movie.
Oh God, yes, I did too. I did see that.
I'm always waiting for something like that to happen to me, but no
Well,
spirits ever
I
did
don't. Okay, but first of all, you do not want that to happen to you. You don't want to,
it.
because that means it's in your bloody home. Okay, no, you don't want.
Very true. Very true.
Yes, you could be sleeping up at someone else's house and have that happen.
Or in your boutique hotel, maybe in one room, all these crazy things happen to you. That could be fun.
I would have to insulate that bloody room so they don't escape.
Right. Oh, God. Terrifying. Terrifying. And they get the room is comped if they make it through to the next morning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. They just
And
have to make
and
it
the
don't.
thing will be is that they never make it through because it's too scary.
I honestly, if I had the ability and the power to create a room which is like an ensuite room that is really, really, really possessed, I would so do it as long as I had a guarantee that it wouldn't attach itself to anybody and it would just be comfortable there on its own.
Right. Oh my gosh. All right. Well, again, we'll have to come back and we'll have to hear more of how this happens. But I so enjoyed meeting you. I think you're amazing. I wish you the best. Tell people where they can read more about you, find you, your website, your Instagram.
I just have Insta. Oh, I thought you were asked. Okay. I thought you meant good. Go do that. It's Carlton1311 is my Instagram. I don't have a website.
Okay.
I should, but
And
not yet.
If people are interested in talking to you more, asking you questions, do you read your DMs?
I do. I'm naughty. I'm naughty with any sort of communication, actually. I'm terrible, which I will improve upon. I do periodically go on Instagram and look at my DMs. And I will definitely now. And I'm very grateful to be on your show. Thank you so much for popping my cherry.
Yes, I'm so excited that I was the one to pop your cherry. It's an
my
honor.
First podcast. Amazing. But yes, no, I'll definitely look at my DMs. And I do, you know, I don't, again, you know, we don't recruit people to that faith, but I can recommend books if they want to really understand it. There's one really, really good book out there. And I'd be happy to, yeah.
Yeah, and I know that I feel like people will have questions because I know so many people feel stuck and that is an energy thing. And you've talked a lot about that. So maybe people will want to reach out to you about that. And then I even have a set of tarot cards in my house that of course I don't know how to use and I play with them all the time and I read the instructions and it's so dumb. But I'm sure people may have questions about that kind of thing.
No, but it's not dumb. It's because you have a curiosity about it and that's how it does start.
Well, I think it's because people want answers, right, to things that they
100%.
Don't know about. And it would be so great to, I think the first part is believing in it. And then the next part is connecting to it. Because I think the fear is that it doesn't exist, the fear that I've lost these people and they're gone, or the fear that, you know, I don't know what's going to happen in the future and I can't make it happen. Do you know what I'm saying? So I think that that's what, for me personally, what stops me from getting past whatever my issue is in believing in it. But
I think if the minute you start asking for signs to verify that someone's there for you, or you want to see that does is there a higher power aside from, you know, magic, you will get your answer. I promise you, you will.
Well, it's been such a pleasure meeting you. I am a believer now. And I wish you the best of luck. Not that you need it, because you can put some spells on whatever you're doing and make it happen.
Let me know if you need one.
Okay, yes, I will. Thank you.
It's such a pleasure, Rachel. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time. Misunderstood.